It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a look at the remaining historic railroad depots across Wisconsin.
8 railroad depots still serve passengers in Wisconsin for Amtrak trains that travel across the southern half of the state. But once, there were a few hundred rail stations here. While many of those buildings are gone, reporter Chuck Kornbach tells us, others remain, but with new uses.
Mineral Point is home to Wisconsin's oldest surviving former railroad depot. Cornish stonemasons put up the two-story limestone and sandstone building in 1856. That's as the local railroad company built tracks to connect southwest Wisconsin to Illinois to haul farm crops plus lead and zinc from nearby mines. The trains also carried passengers. But rail service stopped decades ago. The old depot now houses the Mineral Point Railroad Museum. The extensively redone interior still contains sounds of the past, like this bell from one of the locomotives that ran on the rail line. There's also a small telegraph office where the station agent sent messages. That's Matthew Payne at the key. He's on the board of a society that runs the museum. Payne says as recently as about 30 years ago, the building was in serious decline, partly due to flooding from a nearby creek.
When the structural engineer came in, it was within 2 years of falling down. When they went to level the building, the northeast corner actually fell out. So they had to rebuild that.
Payne says a federal grant, community fundraising, and a strong preservation ethic in Mineral Point saved the building. While Mineral Point has kept a railroad theme with its former depot, Payne says other former stations around the state have been converted to things like offices, restaurants, and retail stores. He says many preservationists think that's just fine.
In the historic preservation movement, there's a clear understanding, it's reflected in the National Park Standards for Historic Preservation, that it is better to preserve a historic building for a different use than it is to not preserve it at all and have it go away.
Repurposing is the plan over in Belleville, south of Madison, where the Illinois Central stopped passenger service to the local depot in the mid-1900s. A construction worker uses a miniature jackhammer to take a layer of brick off the building. The goal here is to renovate the one-story building into a cafe and community event space, hopefully attract bicyclists from the nearby Badger State Trail. Owner and architect Catherine Howley says her team is getting some help from federal tax credits, as well as local government and maybe the state. But Howley says it's not easy or cheap to renovate a 137-year-old building.
It's an absolute heck of a challenge.
But
it's super fun, right? It's just really fun. And you gotta find a way to use the thing that you're trained to do to give back to the world, is my truthful belief.
In Sturgeon Bay, preservationists who are also rail buffs are trying to find a more public use for a former depot used by the Anapee and Western Railroad. Since passenger and freight rail service ended decades ago, the 111-year-old brick building now serves as storage for a shipbuilding company that owns the property. Sturgeon Bay Mayor David Ward says they could move the depot to a park or elsewhere in the city. Perhaps it becomes a concession stand, coffee shop, or tavern. Ward says it's a matter of finding the right developer.
You got to explore all the options, and then you never know what's going to break. All of a sudden, there's somebody that's really interested who has either the business or the capital to make sure that the building, if it does go private, is maintained in the long term.
Ward says the old depot is not in danger of being torn down, but just in case, the Sturgeon Bay City Council has passed a resolution saying the city, as a last resort, would take control of the building to protect this link to the local passenger and freight rail past.
Reporter Chuck Kornbach brought us that story on historic rail depots in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell & Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thank you.
The U.S. Census Bureau counts roughly 58,000 farms in Wisconsin. 95% of those are classified as family farms.
Chris and Yuli McGuire run one of those farms. Blue Roof Orchard is an organic apple orchard in Belmont in southwestern Wisconsin. Producer Joe Tarr talked to the McGuires and their teenage daughter Katie at this year's Marble Seed Organic Farming Conference to hear what working together on the farm is like.
Hi, my name is Yuli McGuire. Our farm name is Blue Roof Orchard, and it is by Belmont, Wisconsin, in Lafayette County.
I'm Chris McGuire. I farm there with my family.
I'm Katie McGuire. I'm their youngest daughter, and I've lived on Blue Roof Orchard my entire life. We're a CSA. And a lot of people don't know what a CSA is, so then I have to explain that, you know, we have members who get a box every week with a variety of apples and things like that. I do basically everything except for spraying and pruning. So in the spring, I help with thinning the apple trees, and then I help train some of the new branches. We usually plant apple trees, and then in the summer, there's a lot of weeding. And I also check, we have insect traps, so I check them and then I record that. And then my dad enters it on the computer for the data. In the fall, we obviously pick apples and then wash them. And then we also pack them for deliveries. My job is to clean the packing shed every week, so I vacuum it. Just odd jobs with building things or whatever my dad tells me to do is what I do. Who has been the most important person in your farming life? Can you tell me about them?
That's pretty easy for you, Chris, so you can start that.
I guess I would say my grandfather. He was a lot older. He was 68 when I was born, but I remember him. He was in his late 70s, his 80s, really. So he wasn't actively farming then. And I can't say I learned like real tangible, useful things from him as far as like how to, you know, fix a tractor or how to grow anything in particular. But he was influential just in that he did talk to me about how much he loved that work and how happy he was that he had done it. And he wasn't a very touchy-feely kind of person. So the fact that he even said that was pretty significant. It's the only time I really remember him talking about his feelings. In retrospect, I mean, it wasn't, you know, it's not as simple as it seems when you're 15, But in the core, it's still true. I mean, I do love the work and I love the lifestyle. And that, I think that's what he was talking about when he was telling me how much he loved it too.
Katie was born on the farm, like in the living room. So, you know, that's not just a piece of land for us where we have a business, but that's our entire life. And the skills, I guess, you know, everybody, well, most people will know that if you're farming, then you wear so many hats. And you learn, Chris, like electrical work, building, I mean, construction, and then equipment maintenance, all these things that we didn't have education for, right? I mean, you came into farming knowing the horticulture part of it for sure, but everything else was, you know, do it yourself and learn it along the way.
I mean, with homesteading, when I was younger, we always used to have chickens, and we used to raise meat birds every spring, and my mother would butcher them. So we had like the plucker and the like a scalding thing.
Yeah.
And I never liked the chicken butchering thing. I still don't really like raw meat very much, but we used to
like
do that.
You mean eating raw meat?
No.
Or the touching the raw meat.
The touching.
Yeah.
And we used to raise pigs sometimes too.
Ooh, and we butchered them on the farm too?
Only once, right?
Twice?
Okay, twice. I remember we used to get cheese from a local cheese plant and we fed to the pigs. I don't know why, but that I always remember that. Mm-hmm. My mother also used to keep bees for a little while.
Wow. What happened to that?
And you canned and you made dilly beans.
Yes.
And
Yeah, not enough people, not enough eaters in the family anymore. So we have three children, and then two of them are gone, and our food consumption definitely declined. But no, you're right. Thanks for bringing it up, because yeah, we did all that, and that was a lot of fun. I loved butchering chickens, by the way. Sorry, I have to say.
We started off growing vegetables as well as cut flowers, actually, and that was our goal. That was what we wanted to do, and We dropped the cut flowers after a few years, but we...
Just because we had children, let's put it back there. More children, you stepped away from flowers.
Right. We downsized in terms of employees. There were a few years where we really had little or no non-family workers on the farm. And that was something I really enjoyed about that period, was, you know, working more with the kids, and, you know, and one-on-one with them directly. You know, it used to be that we'd have six employees and our children, and I wasn't really spending time with them. You know, they were just more people on the crew to, you know, tell what to do and herd along, sort of. Whereas when we were just working as a family together, I interacted with them a lot more, and that was kind of a brief period, you know, where they were old enough to be working, but hadn't left home yet. And it was, I'm glad that we've had that interval in our life to work together. That's been wonderful.
Yeah. And actually what we usually talk about at home with the family, with the kids, the best times we have together, kid you not, that's how children say, the best time we have together is when we work together. And that can be sad to hear, but also really good to hear, because imagine how many people will be saying that, oh, well, those were the good times. And it's true. Like when we are out there, all five of us, then banging around, like last time, 2 years ago, we were converting a building into a greenhouse, into a building, right? And that was like on Thanksgiving, Friday, Thanksgiving, our college age daughter came home and said, great, all five of us are here together. Guess what? We have to re-roof that greenhouse. And there we were, and working along and laughing and working hard and saying that, wow, that's when we have the best time together, when we actually out there working. So yeah.
No one's on their phone. No one's in their room. Yeah. So we're all together.
I feel very targeted right now. We have a very funny sense of humor as a family. And there's a lot of bilingual jokes in it, and most people probably wouldn't get it, but we do a lot of laughing while we're working. I don't know if I want to be a farmer, because I'm not sure if I would like to handle the sort of business side of being a farmer, but I do like being outside and growing good food. There's a whole side to farming that most people don't think about. It's not just like the farm work outside. You have to find where you're going to sell things and all the business. You're running a business, and I'm not really sure if I would just want to do that, like the office work side of it, or if I'd be very good at it, but I do like working outside a lot.
Why I feel it's important what we do comes from eating. I love to eat, and I love good food. So raising that and growing that for not just for our family, but all the other people who are eating it, is why I'm proud of it, really. Not because I'm doing great with the environment, or, you know, it's just because people are eating used to eat our great vegetables, and now they are eating our apples, and I bring joy to their life, and not just because it's healthy, but it tastes good, and that's why I'm proud of it.
I guess also I just would emphasize like how beautiful and sacred and important the work is. Growing food for people, working on the land. Yeah, I've been doing it for, you know, over 20 years, and I still feel like I'm participating in a miracle all the time. You know, just seeing how the seasons change and the weather and how the plants grow and flower and bear fruit, and all it's amazing. And to, you know, have an opportunity to be a part of that and, you know, help it along and participate in it and witness it is fantastic and unspeakable.
Make your children work too, because it really is a good experience, I think.
And pay them well.
Yes, that's important.
That is Chris and Yuli McGuire and their daughter, Katie. Their labor of love together is Blue Roof Orchard, an organic apple orchard in Belmont in southwestern Wisconsin. And they spoke with producer Joe Tarr. Thank you.